This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 83. Don't let nature go to voicemail.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl, and I'm back.
Woo-hoo!
Finally.
Good God, that was a long
time. It's about damn time.
Ever.
Yeah, I probably could have walked to the moon and back in the time it took me to come back.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we figured. That's where we thought you actually went. Well, I told Panda that I thought you went out for a pack.
Well, the moon is very nice this time of year, so I have an excuse.
I've heard that.
Said she was locked in a basement somewhere.
On the moon.
Yeah. Actually, no, I think last time I was making a D&D reference and said that she got kidnapped in a giant black ball.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. By some drow.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Luckily, though, you came and rescued me.
Yeah, barely.
For us but down the stairs.
That chick be rolling 20s. That's all I'm saying.
No, not really.
I think we have to explain that one now.
No, don't have to explain it. Not to our crew. They know.
No, I mean the part about the sliding down the stairs.
Yeah. See, Magic's character likes to rip off random things and put it in her magical bag of holding, and she managed to pull off a door that she used as a sled to go down these many stairs.
Yeah, we were on a spiral staircase, and it didn't seem like it was going to end anytime soon, so my rogue got bored and pulled a door out of her bag of holding, because she has both Stonecraft skill, a lot of kleptomania, and a bag of holding, so, you know, why not steal everything that's not bolted down, and some things that are.
Yeah, because you can do that.
So I you know, sledded down the circular stairs on
while
a door.
Me and our paladin in the group, fucking paladin, proceeded to walk down these stairs.
It was fun.
It took us a while to get down the stairs.
Yep, and by the time they were down the stairs, me and the girl who'd gone down the stairs on the door with me were hostages.
Yeah, we had to save them. Yeah.
Okay.
But anywho.
It was really funny because he put his swords against our necks and we couldn't stop giggling.
For all you D&D people out there, yeah, we play. I'm a war priest. Ooh, yeah.
I'm always a rogue or a druid or a roguey druid.
Druid rogue.
Rogue
but
druid.
Anyway.
I'm retired cross-class. From the D&D life.
What were you, though, Ninja, when you were playing? What were you?
I was a paladin.
Ugh. You were a paladin?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's not
paladins
cool.
Paladins are so awful.
I know. Lay on hands my ass.
I like to heal shit, okay?
Oh, that's what clerics do.
You know what?
Clerics turn into war priests. That's what I did.
Well, I didn't know that when I first started. The person that got me into D&D just kind of threw me in there and didn't explain shit. So I'm like, oh, paladin.
That's right. They don't explain anything to me either. They're like, roll for initiative. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Yeah, like, pretty much like, wait, what? All right.
Can I? I'm going to call.
Don't forget your ability modifiers.
and then you go, okay, hold on, white people. You need to slow down and explain.
Hey, I am the only chocolate in our group.
This is what I'm saying. Same thing with me. I was like, hold on. Wait a minute, brah. Explain.
Yeah, I was the same way when I 2 years ago I went back and played an AD&D campaign, and it was so funny. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, and so they had to explain everything to me. And then I talk about that, and people are like, oh my god, AD&D, wasn't there like trig in that?
It's trig.
Like, no, but pretty close to.
The math drives me insane.
I stay away from the math. You know what I don't stay away from?
Our sponsor.
You got it.
Micro.
You know it. Velocity
I got nervous.
Micro.
I thought I was going to say something wrong.
I was kind of scared myself, but I'm never scared of the Velocity Micro machines. They make custom bum-ass home, mobile, and gaming machines. So if you're in the market for a top-notch, custom-made PC gaming platform or just great notebook, check them out at velocitymicro.com or visit your local Circuit City. I almost said Circle City.
Circle City.
I thought you were going to say Circle Jerk for a minute.
What the fuck?
I was like, oh no, that's not
dear
where
God,
you'll find.
Are you trying to kill me?
Yeah, see, the only circle that popped into my head was Perfect Circle.
See, I'm thinking, well, let's just stop there. But do stop in at Circuit City. Check out their machines on the floor. If you like what you see, visit the Velocity Micro website and custom order your machine built to perfection. If you need a machine to play Crisis on people, Velocity Micro, definitely a place you should stop. You should also stop at our website, which is Panda.
ElectricSisterhood.com, or the short version, which is ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. It will bounce you to our long one, and you can read our posts, comment on them, leave us messages on our hit us up link. You can even just listen to us talk here on our podcast if you want to do it that way, or check us out on iTunes.
Yeah! And with that said, I want to give yet another shout out to Ariel, who's made yet another awesome ass video on YouTube. Gotta tell you, I've pretty much decided, since the rest of you are pretty lame, Ariel gets Halo 3.
You just didn't want to give it to me, but Ariel, that's okay. You can have
Dude, I gave you like $500 worth of shit. The least I can
I know,
do.
And half of it's still in your apartment.
I know, part of it is. I know, and I keep looking at it. I'm like, shit, I need to box that up. I need to box it up.
Oh, yeah, you still have my Fushigi Yugi, too, don't you?
I know, and I've gotten through like 3 discs. But I haven't been enjoying it. But Ariel, you are going to get 2 bags of candy, as well as the legendary edition of Halo 3. So congratulations to you.
Woohoo! Stuff your face!
And frag people!
Stuff your
and
face!
Stuff your face and frag people! Stuff two of the greatest things created by mankind.
Frag and teabag to your heart's content.
What? She's like, don't tell her that!
What?
Wait, what's...
It's an integral part of Halo. You can't play Halo and not
teabag. Yeah, you can't play Halo and not teabag. After you frag somebody, you go over to their corpse and you bend over... on their face. It's kind of like, and eat my nuts. I friend you, bitch.
oh, dear. But she doesn't have nuts.
No, but you, when you're playing
your avatar
Halo,
will,
your
though.
Avatar does. Cause you,
oh, my God.
I usually now, play as a male. Halo,
someone's going to teabag my character.
Yeah. That's sad. It's just accept it. Just own the teabag and move on. 8 seconds later, you're reborn. And so all they're doing is teabagging a corpse. You're not there.
Okay.
You're teabagging somebody else.
Alrighty then.
Okay,
that works.
So moving on, I'm now going to take the mic of 1,000 Truths, which right now just kind of looks like a generic action RPG heads up display unit B. And put that kind of in the middle of the table and select pass to Panda. There you go.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to use my magic mystical powers of pandaness, and I'm going to change the mic of 1,000 Truths to now resemble a scenic buzzer. And I know what you're thinking. Yes, buzzers are fun, but...
Sorry.
Buzzers are great.
Sorry, I'll be good.
And it's the blue one. And you want to know why? Blue balls. No, I'm just kidding. Blue's my favorite color. And for all those of you who know that. And it's the buzzer I use when I play, you guessed it, seen it. No, it's not the Harry Potter one, though I'd probably pwn in that. No,
yeah.
It's not the Pirates of the Caribbean one, which I'd
and
probably
I'd
do.
And I'd pwn at that.
I would be okay at that, but... This one is just the simple lights, camera, action.
And I would pwn at that.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes,
because
I would.
Pwn at that.
Because I've seen all those movies.
Actually, yeah. She's enough. She actually would have seen all the movies in the range.
Bite it, bitch. You
and she's good. And she's slowly becoming older and older because that faded day is coming.
You know what? You can suck my nuts. How about that?
You don't have any nuts.
Ovaries,
and that'd be incest, and incest is grody.
Ovaries are just internal nads.
That takes a whole lot of work to get to those, though, to suck
yeah,
my nuts.
Yeah, I know. And yeah. I don't want to put up that kind of effort.
Yeah, well,
but,
you better watch what you say, then.
Anywho, originally this wouldn't be a game that I would see in Best Buy and I myself would want to buy, since generally a lot of the games that I play are loner gamer, you know, lone games where, you know, you play by yourself in the dark, you know, with some, like, you know, Yanni on, with some candles maybe.
Wait, what kind of games are you playing? And they don't sell those at my Best Buy.
No, but I mean, I tend to play a lot of singular, you know, player games. So, you know, I don't have a lot of multiplayers. A lot of my multiplayers are actually on my Wii.
Right.
Not that I tend to have more than another person in the house to play them with anyway.
Right.
I need to invite my friends over.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
But Mother Pandalicious Ninja Sister, we need to come up with a cool name for Mom. Our mom, Esh Mom. I'm going to call her Esh Mom.
Esh Mom?
Esh Mom.
Esh Mom.
That sounds like some apostle's name.
Esh Mom.
Esh Mom walked from the cloud with Jesus. And
the prophecy of sisters. No.
And Esh Mom begat Ninja. Esh Mom also begat Panda, which begat Little Panda, which begat Pandemonium.
Yeah, and then the world died.
Shit. All right.
Anywho. But Esh Mom has been watching me play Rock Band very often and was deciding that she wanted to become a little bit more fluent in the gamer world. Needless to say, there are a lot of moms that you see playing Rock Band if you are bored like me and check for that on YouTube. And I thought if Esh Mom
who brought up the mom thing?
Yes, Ninja brought forth the news. And I thought to help my mom, you know, Esh Mom, get some courage, that I'd let her watch some of these, you know, and
Courage.
Yeah, but then it went away, and the yellow stripe on the back showed up. So Esh Mom was like, I need to find a game that I can play. And at first, I thought this was impossible because she can't do multiple buttons at all.
And so by multiple buttons, we mean two buttons.
Two buttons is just way above her.
Yeah.
And give her a directional pad, and I think she'd want to jump off a building.
Mm-hmm.
And,
do that.
But this game, you know, it's just a buzzer. And underneath the buzzer are four other colored buttons. It's so easy. Even a blind man could do it. In fact, I bet blind people do it. I was going to say a caveman could do it.
I really wish that you had said a caveman could do it instead of a blind person could do it.
Blind people are awesome.
Yes,
are used to it after all those Geico commercials.
The cavemen are used to it after the commercials. How is a blind person going to see what's on the screen so they could say that they've seen it?
But you don't have to see it. Oh, wait, they couldn't see the question. Someone could read the question. Anyway, fine. A caveman could do it.
Yeah, one of their competitors is going to help them out by reading the question out loud.
I do it for my mom all the time. I do it for Esh Mom.
Well, obviously you don't do it as cutthroat as other people.
Because Esh Mom is usually drunk when you're playing.
No, actually, Esh Mom refuses to drink because she's like, she wants to break 20,000 points, and so far without my help that hasn't happened.
Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, you're on the scenic lot, and this is pretty much random. It's completely random. These are different movies. They're not always from the same time period, you know, and you pretty much, it's cutthroat. It's who gets enough points to win at the end, you know, and believe it or not, this is a really fun game, and it does get addicting, or at least to Esh Mom, who makes me play it for 9 hours straight without going to the bathroom, which pandas have to do twice.
Pee-pee for panda.
Every 4 hours, we kind of have to. Nature calls, and when nature calls, you know, you take that call. You don't make nature wait for you.
You don't put nature on call waiting.
No, because nature...
And you definitely don't let nature go to voicemail.
No, you don't. It's like that movie, Missed Calls, like, fuck. Nature went to voicemail, I'm fucked.
But and usually in a puddle of your
own
making.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean...
Like a sim...
Like something like yeah, exactly. And then they have to mop it up, and you feel the shame of the sim every time mine came. And I was, it was embarrassing. But anyway, I mean, I really like the setup of these games. I mean, there are some where you go to, you know, composites, and like a celebrity is missing from the shot, and you have to pretty much pick out who the celebrity is. And then you go and you see, you go to the auditorium and you watch a clip from a movie. They never tell you what the movie is straight away because usually it's the first question they ask you. You know, and, you know, your first round, you can accumulate points. And the second round, you get points deducted for fucked up answers. And then the third is pretty much like round two. And then you get final cut, which is my favorite because that's where I tend to pwn. If there's any of the little mini games in this game that suck balls, it's when you have to put movies in order of when they were released.
That's where I would pwn your ass.
That sucks. That's not my best game.
I'd be like, I don't know which did come first, The Matrix or Jurassic Park.
Oh no! The funny thing
remember.
Is,
what no, because my sense of time is so screwed up.
The funny thing is, though, is that all the movies have something or someone in common.
Uh-huh. So it's like a making.
Yeah. Like, I had one that were all Johnny Depp movies.
Oh,
I'd be good at that one.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my God. I'm like, well, and only one of the movies I had never seen. So I'm like, that one's got to be first because I've seen all the other ones, you know. And
Was Benny and June in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally the best of his movies.
But,
Benny and June is the greatest movie ever.
And then they do, you know, voice tracks where you, like, you hear somebody speaking and you have to, you know,
figure out who it
name
is.
Name the movie. Not necessarily the person, but the movie. And, okay. Like, there have been a couple that, like, Mom Esh totally thought it was, she thought it was Eddie Murphy, and it was actually, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. from, like, McGuire.
Dude.
And I was like, wow. Like, I felt bad for Mom Esh because she was trying so hard. And if it, like, it was really funny because in Final Cut, you know, they show you a movie and, like, you don't get any penalties for getting a wrong answer, but the more questions you get right, they double how many points you get. And I was sitting there and I'm like, man, please let it be a movie that I know because I had, like, 70,000 points. Needless to say, Mom Esh and P-Dog were not very happy that I was poning them old school, especially because I hadn't seen half the movies that we were, like, answering about, so I have dumb fucking luck. But it was, the movie was Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, and I love this movie. Whenever it's on fucking Fios, like, I watch it, and I've seen it, like, 15 fucking billion times.
Have you read the book?
I've read the book, but I've never seen the movie.
See, I don't... Pandas don't read.
I love that. I love that dead
silence.
Dead silence. We never get that quiet ever.
Pandas read manga and fan fiction, but pandas read actual literature? No. I'm just kidding. I love to read when I have to. And
I remember that being like high school or junior high required reading. That was the only reason I read it.
Freshman year.
Yeah, but I'm inner city schools. Like, our required reading is how not to get shot in the hallway. and how to deal drugs safely.
Oh my God.
Not getting caught at 101.
Yeah, not getting caught 101.
Don't be a bitch, don't snitch.
Exactly. Or you get cut in the face. But anyway, this movie, I just knew, and I had the poker face going. You know, Mom Esh knows that I've watched this movie a billion times because I've always make her watch it with me. Because I'm like, oh man, Mr. Darcy, man, if
all
men
right,
were really
calm down.
Drooling on your microphone.
I know. I'm sorry. I just okay.
Come on, get back to the story.
Anyway, I got all the questions right, and I was like into the 90,000 point range. And, like, P-Dog, like, pretty much, like, wanted to throw his drink at me and, like, was mad. And Mom Esh was just like, I only have 9,000 points. Second round really sucked. And it did for her because she lost, like, all the points she had. It's fun. It's lighthearted. The, you know, like, the host guy who, you know, announces all the rounds. Like, if you consistently suck, he likes to rag on you. Like, and, like, they're really funny. Like, you know... And I feel bad because P-Dog was, like, the butt of every joke. And, like, P-Dog was, like, right behind me in most points. But it was like, man, Green Team, you know, that performance sucked. You know, I've got three words for you. Cutting room floor. You know, like, they're all, like, you know, you know, studio
movie
jokes.
Related.
Yeah. But I mean, they all, you know, it's just, it's a hoot to play. If you've got enough friends and you've got that competitive spirit, what tends to happen when you have more than three people in a room. And if you want to play drunken scene it, that's even better.
That'd be so much fun.
Because when you have to do the whole lyric section where you actually have to like look at a quote and finish it, when you can't see the screen, you're just guessing. And sometimes guessing is fun. So
how many players is the game support?
It comes with four controllers, four buzzers. You know, red,
you
green,
yellow,
and blue.
Probably just spill it into four different teams and have as many people as you want.
Right.
Yeah, you can. Obviously, I've never had enough people to play all four slots because there's only ever three people in my house at a time. But it's fun. It's addictive. You know, this would be something that, like, if I ever had a party, which I plan to eventually, this would probably be the drunken game to play.
I think Guitar Hero is more fun.
I don't have Guitar Hero for Xbox, but I think I'm going to get it because I don't want to have a whole bunch of you guys, like, friends, like, over here drunk. And they'd be like, man, let's play Rock Band. And then
break
someone
your
frickin'
drums. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, throw up on them or something.
Like,
dude,
like I can totally see one of you guys being like, I love you, Boston! And then, like, break my sticks and, like bite
smack
my, like...
Smack the guitar on the floor.
Exactly. So, like, it's not the drunken game to play unless we're all, like, the mellow drunks. Like, I think at the party...
We are all mellow drunks. I was like, yeah, which one of us is gonna smash a guitar on the floor?
You never know.
We're not exactly violent drunks.
I don't know. I would probably imagine that one of your friends that begins with an S may actually...
No, she actually doesn't have any eye or hand coordination, I heard. Because they put
really
her
funny.
Up to the
No, because you lent out another friend of us, of ours.
I lent wrong button. Wrong button.
Yeah, you lent wrong button Guitar Hero. And so I've been over there playing, like, every day. no, but we brought it, she brought it to, was it?
The New Year's.
Yeah,
the
New Year's. Year's
Eve party.
To New Year's, and then Sayo-chan, that's her screen name, right?
Pen name. The handle she uses here is Sayo-chan.
She couldn't do it. She got so frustrated. It was actually,
did she, like,
you know,
pout face and cry.
Yeah, she's usually not that easily upset. So I just
I wish I could have seen this.
Like, laughing at her. I was like, no, it's okay, it's okay. It was terrible the first million times I tried it, too. And she's like, no, I can't do it. And it was so funny.
Oh,
she's going to smack me.
That.
She's going to smack me when she listens to this podcast.
Yeah, she is.
But...
she's like, stop talking about me and my
inadequacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Pandas can't fucking speak. But
no,
yeah.
They really can't, actually.
Yeah, I know. They speak panda language, which I'm fluent in.
Good
in
for
four,
you.
In four dialects, mind you.
Four dialects.
Four dialects of
four
panda.
Dialects
but
panda. Very good.
But anyway, getting back to scene it, lights, camera, action, you know, like I said, it's not something that I think I would see right off the bat by myself to pick up. But if I was with a bunch of friends who were going to come over and I didn't have any games that were, like, conducive to multi-playing, then I would get this. And I'm so happy that Mom Ash bought it. And I'm glad Mom Ash made me play it. Because it's fun. I would give it 4.5 out of 5 because it's just that fun. Like, I really do like it. And if you're looking for a game to play, I don't know, during your pre-Super Bowl party, before kickoff, but not before booze, I would check out Scene It, Lights, Camera, Action. And I plan to pick up several more games in the whole Scene It bracket and see if I can pwn in those games as well.
Sweet.
Yeah, see, having played Pirates of the Caribbean, Scene It, I think the general one that isn't specific to a certain movie is probably better, because I felt like just playing it once, I'd probably seen all the questions that it could have asked. Because it felt very secular, and, like, there wasn't much to it.
Yeah, like, this is completely random. You know, like, there's one segment where they show a giant poster board, and, like, it's like you have to know what the picture of the video looked like the case, you know, but they show little tidbits of it, and, you know, you have so long before you can buzz in. And sadly, I stare at a lot of movie boxes, so right away, like, from the background color, I'm usually very, you know, accurate.
I'm the same way, because I'm a visual person, so I, like, see it once and I'll remember it forever.
Yeah. So, like, and I mean, it adheres to all different kinds of people. Like, if you're really good at, you know, remembering famous lines, then you're going to be really good at, you know, the line section. If you're really good at, you know, knowing actors, different actors from what movies, then you're going to be great at the billboard section. Like, they
pick the quotes, but not the actors' names.
See, you know, I can't get this game because if I play it against Evermore, I'm just going to lose because Evermore is a computer and remembers fucking everything.
And word-wise, everybody, the line, you know, loving someone is not having to say you're sorry, is from Love Story. I didn't know that.
What did you think it was from?
I'd never seen the fucking movie. And that was, like, one of the final cuts, and it's like, what is this movie? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know who these people are. They're white people. And she, like, forgot. She's like, I forgot my keys. And he was all like, oh. And it's like, Love's like saying, never having to say you're sorry. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? Did he cheat on you? Like, I had no clue.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, it's really funny. It's like you were talking about like quotes and stuff. And the first thing that popped into my head was, oops, somebody put this on. Oops, what oops? No oops. No, I got it this time. And then right after that, welcome to Earth, motherfucker. Boom. I haven't seen that movie in like, probably since it came out, and those were the things that just popped into my head.
And they're like that too. So I mean, but oh God, it's just a blast and a half.
Hand off the mic.
All right, I dropped it. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, we could spend the whole rest of the time talking about this, or we could let, you know, Magic talk since she's back.
Yes, Magic, you should talk now.
I don't know. I was having fun on that conversation.
Well, I am too. I'm just saying, you know, you should get in there because
okay.
We're not used to
having you now.
So
I'm so used to having to go on more of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, oh crap, I've got a podcast in half an hour. I don't know what I want to talk about. And then I was like, so what have I been doing in my off time? Well, I finally watched the Death Note anime rather than just reading the manga, but we've probably already talked about that. And I rewatched Full Metal Alchemist, but we've probably talked about that. And I rewatched Bleach, but we, you know, people have talked about that. And Naruto, and I finally played Final Fantasy X. I was like, crap, all I did was catch up. I didn't read anything new. And then, you know, I was like, okay, think of something, anything new. And I was like, oh, last night I read a 5-volume manhwa that I really liked, and I'll talk about that. So, I bring to you Banya, the Explosive Delivery Man, which is a manhwa published by Dark Horse.
Okay, and, I tend to like Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah, I love Dark Horse. I love Dark Horse. Of course, it's probably because I just used to collect all of the Star Wars comics. Which, you know, if you know anything about Dark Horse and their Star Wars comics, saying all of them is horrible. So anyways, I love this story because in a typical story, you got your main character and they're like integral to the way the universe works, blah, blah, blah. They're the king of the country. They're the country's champion. They're whatever the hell they are.
Right.
So the difference is that Banya, the main character of Banya, big surprise there. Oh God, no.
No, really?
He's a messenger. He's not the integral piece. He's not the king. He's not the queen. He's definitely not the queen.
He could be.
So you open on the scene of war. And there's these monsters called, I think they're called Tauren.
Cows. They're
basically orcs.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I know where you were going with that. And boo. No. they're basically like ogres and orcs and all that. And they're attacking human-looking people. I assume they're humans, because nobody ever says they're not, so
okay,
whatever. So, you know, big battle going on. The guy's like, oh, no, they're, you know, taking over the walls, and they're going to push us back, and we're all going to die. Oh, no, oh, no. And then this warrior shows up. And, well, you think he's a warrior. And he's looking all cool and badass. You know, he's got weapons. He's standing in this field of blood without blinking. And he grabs a spear, and he comes up behind a Tauren. And the Tauren turns around, and there's nobody there. So you think Banya's going to attack this thing, and he's going to be this great hero with lots of power and just, you know, cut a swath through the enemy through the field. And he doesn't. The Torrent turns around. There's nobody there. It's like, what happened? What happened? The Torrent's already dead and he doesn't know it yet, right? You know, he cut through him and moved on and the Torrent's just going to fall apart. No. Then the Torrent looks down. He's got like a question mark. He looks down at the ground. And there's our, you know, powerful warrior with two ends of a spear held up against his head and his tongue lolling out, pretending to be dead. So, you know, I was like,
what a great hero he turned out.
You know, yay. And he's like, it's like the worst parody of pretending to be dead ever. You know, he's like, bleh. Just as like comic as you could possibly imagine, that's probably about right.
Okay.
Wow. So the Torrent moves on, you know, and he just, you know, dodges everybody pretending to have this spear stuck in him the whole time. And then he, you know, massive feats of acrobatics, jumps up, at pole vaults up on top of the walls, the escarpment there. And he's like, I'm here to deliver a message, you know. So he finds the general. The general's about to be killed. And he just, you know, kills the Torrent that's about to kill the general. And just one swipe of his knife, just he's dead. You know, I've come to deliver this message. So it unrolls. The general unrolls the message. Please be careful. There have been hints of Torrent activity in the area.
A little late with the message.
Yeah. This just sets the tone for the whole manga. And he's like, "What the? You know, they're already attacking. We're about to be overrun." And so he tries to enlist Vanya. He's like, "Go tell the commanding officers that we need help. We need reinforcements." And he's like, you know, he holds out his hand. And he quotes the prices. He does that a lot. He's like, 100 ban for, you know, delivery, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, I should have charged them 100, an extra 100 coins for the fact that this is a war zone. They got off cheap. So basically he's saying that he's not going to do the right thing unless he's paid.
Right.
So he gets paid. he gets paid and he delivers his message. And, you know, that's the first chapter or so.
He's the delivery man. He's delivering messages.
Yeah, yeah. He's like one of the greatest fighters this country has, and he's a delivery man.
Nice.
And he doesn't care about anything but the delivery. They have no loyalty to any country or whatever. So then the next thing that happens is this warrior is trying to cross the desert. There's this giant desert, which is where Banya and the other messengers live. And he collapses, and they take him in, and he pays them to deliver a message. And then you find out that there's all these killers after the message and stuff. You know, and they eventually get through and deliver the message. And it's this really important message that there's a new king. Ooh. But then they cut out, and that's all you see of those characters. And then the next message job is there's a convent or whatever monks live in. Cause I
monastery?
Monastery. Yeah, convents are nuns, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a monastery that's under attack by Torrens and blah, blah, blah. And Banya has to get through. He kills a lot of people to get through to deliver this message that they can unseal this really frightening priest, apparently, with a sword for the priest and everything. And you think, you're like, okay, you know, one thing at a time. You never see any of these characters again. Bah. You know, that's not interesting. I mean, it's kind of cool because you get these glimpses. But it's like, I don't want just glimpses. I want to know what's going on. But it's a very novel approach, because usually the people are, like, right there, they know what's going on, they're, you know, it's very consecutive and follows straight through, instead of these, like, windows into different things that are going on. And eventually, everything comes together. And you find out that the dragon of destruction, the god of destruction, is rising, and basically all the animals and all the men in the world are feeling the power of the god of destruction. And Banya ends up somehow getting involved with all that, because this priest he gave the message to, and like a child he rescued, and the king and everything all end up being integral parts of what's going on. And I just love the way that's organized, because I've never seen that before. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the only problem I have with it, it's 5 volumes long, is that it feels too short.
Okay.
Like, you meet characters
and suddenly they're really close friends or something without a lot of in-between kind of stuff.
Oh my god, that's kind of like Backstage Prince, where like the first day she meets the Kabuki guy and she's like, I love you.
Yeah, that was so funny. It was like, what? But the how?
But I just met you. I don't care. I love you, and I want to be your wife. And
it's like, and it's like you get the sense that there's probably a lot more that happened between them.
Yeah,
but it was never put into.
They never show it.
Into the manga. Yeah, and it's like, I really love this, and I really want to know more about the characters, and I wish they'd just fleshed it out a bit.
I think that happens a lot of times with a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah.
It seems like there are a lot of writers that are kind of hovering that line of how much detail do I go into and how much do I leave up to the reader.
Yeah. But it's like, you read something like Banya, and you're like, I wish there was more. And then you read something like a school drama, and it's like... Haven't you graduated yet?
No.
It's like so like much bogged down.
Or not.
Tiny
like you kids. Never in school setting animes and whatnot, you never see anyone graduate.
I love Auron, especially because the author acknowledges that. She's like, it's spring again at Auron. Please don't ask how many springs it's been.
Like, you never see it. You always see the sports festival. You see Christmas. You see the culture fest. But you never see graduation.
Never, ever.
Never.
Never. I mean, how long did Tenchi stay in Tokyo? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, really.
He never left.
I'm asking the intergalactic prince, and you stay in Tokyo?
No, but Tenchi was weird because each Tenchi was like a totally different...
He got older, so you
like they had nothing to do with each other
at some point.
But you're just like, but wait a minute, okay, so
then there's GXP, which Tenchi wasn't in at all anyway.
No,
he wasn't, but he's a side character.
Yeah,
and like Seon's all like, oh, Mr. Tenchi's back, and he's all like, you know, Seon's riding on his bike. And, like, yeah. Tenchi's, like, running right next to him at the same speed, and he's all like, whoa! And
then but he probably, in that 26-episode series, probably had 5 minutes of footage. So he wasn't even side character. He was, like, lower than a red shirt.
he was a cameo. Yeah, like, a walk-out
cameo. Wait a minute. And you're just like, wait, what? Why are you on the box if you're not here?
In the series. Yeah, really. Exactly.
So. Yeah.
And that's the other thing I liked. It didn't end indefinitely. Like, all of the Tenchis and all of those romance things and whatnot, that's one thing I've never been able to stand. It's like they meet, they get along, blah, 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 blah. They're in the same place at the end of the anime that they were at the beginning.
Well, that's because in most stories, a good story. Yeah, they tend to say that if it reflects the end, then you've read a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no offense, after, like, Fushigi Yui with all the struggle... It's like, okay, can they live happily ever after yet? Can they stop now? How about now? Okay, she's not the priestess.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
She's the fucking book and use this chick as a medium. Can she live in peace yet? What's next, aliens?
No, but Fushigi Yugi was very different. That wasn't what I meant. Like,
no,
I meant No, Fushigi is very different from the beginning to the end. Miyaka had grown up, she'd found love, you know, the world was restored in the book, blah, 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 eventually, several times. you know what I mean?
Like, erase, let's
But I mostly mean, like, harem anime, where they hint he likes her better, maybe she likes him better, blah, blah, blah. But they never actually, like
love Hina?
Choose.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, love Hina, like, sister... princess, like...
I couldn't get into Sister Princess.
Sister... I don't even know, because I don't watch them anymore, because I hate them for that one fact. But Banya, although there is a very wide let's-see-what-tomorrow-brings kind of feel, it's also, like, a definitive end to that chapter of their lives kind of thing.
Okay.
But that's a good thing.
Let's feel this out.
So I like, I'm not saying all the ends have to be tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good deal of them. Right. You know, all the ends that I've been following need to be tied up.
All the really interesting things need to be resolved.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. There were a couple of really interesting things that weren't resolved. I was like, no.
What about that? No. We're not going there?
Okay. No. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Like, Banya forgot his memory.
I forget my memory all the time.
I forget my memory all the time.
Worst sentence ever. He had amnesia. and he became a delivery man, and they never, I mean, they reveal bits of, like, I know you, you were one of us. And I was like, he was one of us. What are you? You know, it's like, what was you? And he never fully remembers, and nobody ever really fully explains who he is. Well, actually, it's kind of a conscious decision not to be who he was, so I can understand why that wasn't revealed. But I'm one of those people that I just want to know.
Right.
If I had a superpower, it would be just to know things. So.
Cool.
I give it a 4, because it's not the greatest thing I've ever read, but you'll enjoy it a lot if you do read it.
And that's 5 volumes put out by Dark Horse?
Put out by Dark Horse.
Sweet.
What was I going to say? Oh, the other thing is, it's not for girly girls. These people are chopping off their limbs and blooding themselves up and blooding others up and killing poor innocent animals. A lot of camels die.
That's okay, because I think camels are ugly.
A lot of swearing.
Ooh, I like swearing.
Yeah, it's basically a very vulgar anime, which is manhwa. My vocabulary is failing me.
That's which okay. Is mine does too.
The vulgarity is probably why I like it so much.
Nice. All right, so that's
Vanya, the explosive delivery man.
Sweet.
Go out and get it.
Go get it.
Yeah, now that I've read it, I'm gonna have to buy it. I just enjoyed it so much.
Cool.
So I passed the mic of 1,000 truths that Panda never passed to me to Ninja.
I had to let it go because if I didn't, I would have kept talking.
Yes.
And it's shaped like a message tube. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to take that message tube and I'm going to turn it back to that generic.
She's going to shove it up your ass. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I would hope not.
I'm just going to make it a HUD again. And this time I'm going to choose to direct attention to me. And the reason why that I've picked the HUD is because I'm going to talk about Mass Effect, which I have been playing now almost exclusively for a couple of weeks.
And is it good?
So here's the deal. If anything can make me give up playing Rock Band for more than a day...
Stop playing with me on Rock Band.
I know, but we have to pick back up because I'm getting rusty again.
Okay.
And I bought new songs. Anyway... So you need to buy them too. Mass Effect, I think, is probably one of the more interesting action, I don't want to call it RPG, but it is an action RPG, really.
So you don't want to confine it by assigning it the term.
I don't want to...
All in the category.
Right, because it's probably one of the better stories that I've ever seen done just in video game form. To give you an idea of how hard-hitting they really wanted the story to play a part in, the voice acting, when you first choose to start the game, you get to be Commander Shepard. You get to choose at that point if Commander Shepard is a woman or a man.
Woohoo!
You then get to do a whole character creation for Commander Shepard and choose skin color, which you can make Commander Shepard black, which I did.
Obviously.
And a woman. You can also change eye shape, color, nose, all that crap. And then you can also build a little bit of a backstory for your character, which will determine how other characters interact with you. So, if I was to classify this game, I would classify it more as kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure video game.
Oh, I loved those books when I was a kid.
Because depending upon what interactive response you pick to characters that you meet determines how going forward the game arcs and how other people interact with you when they first meet you or on subsequent times that they meet you.
Would you compare it with Fable?
It's kind of like Fable. It's a little more deep than Fable. I would put it more on the level of, as far as the story goes, Battlestar Galactica, the new one, with possible lesbianism thrown on top.
So, why possible?
Because it only is possible if you choose to make Commander Shepard a woman.
Ah.
Yeah. So, voice actors, if Commander Shepard is a man, they're using Mark Meer, who has done a lot of voice acting for previous games that BioWare's put out, included Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. If you make Commander Shepard a female, then Jennifer Hale does the voice. If you're not familiar with Jennifer Hale when I say her name, probably have heard Samus speak from Metroid Prime 3. Have you ever seen The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy?
Yeah.
No, Billy's mom?
Yeah.
That's Jen.
That's really fun.
Have you ever watched Justice League Heroes?
Samus is Billy's mom. That's kind of scary.
Samus is Billy's mom.
If you ever watched Justice League Heroes and saw Black Canary, that's also Jen. If you go to IMDb, she's done so many different voices, it's crazy. This chick be working. Marina
Sirtis. Better than being unemployed.
Absolutely. It's good work if you can get it. Marina Sirtis is the voice of Matriarch Benzia. If you don't know who Marina Sirtis is and you're listening to this podcast, you should shoot yourself in the foot right now.
I need a gun.
Oh my god. Okay, so let's start with the easy one. Did you ever watch Star Trek The Next Generation?
Did you make me?
Okay, you remember.
But you don't remember if you ever watched.
No, I did.
You remember Lieutenant Troy?
No way! Shut up.
Yes. Did you? Okay. If that one didn't work for you, did you ever watch a cartoon called Gargoyles?
Yeah.
Remember Desdemona?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Desdemona was a bitch.
Desdemona was my favorite character. Aside from that one episode where Eliza got turned into a gargoyle because she was my favorite character.
Yeah, when she got turned into a gargoyle. I was like, please let her stay a gargoyle.
That was my favorite episode ever.
I wanted her to stay a gargoyle so bad.
It's probably Gargoyle Eliza, Desdemona, Puck, human Desdemona. Angela, or something like that.
Was that like manservant guy?
Oh, I didn't like him. I didn't like him when he was pretending to be human. I liked regular Puck.
Yeah, but I just liked it. It was like, haha, I'm Puck. It's
I knew. I loved about Gargoyles was about halfway into the season, I realized that just about all the voices were done by people from Star Trek: Next Generation.
Yeah, that was amusing. That was an amusing revelation.
Okay.
Apparently, space and gargoyles are linked forever.
Well, now. I mean, yeah. I mean, because you had, what the hell's his name? Guy that played Riker?
Who's he? Son of a... I'm terrible with actor names.
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember it right now. But anyway.
I can see him. I can hear his voice.
Jonathan Frakes.
I know he's done other things.
Yeah, I think it's Jonathan Frakes. Anyway, he was the voice of Xanatos.
Yeah, he was.
Well, everybody knew that. That was the first one I recognized.
Yep. And then Brent Spiner did Puck. So Commander Data, Puck.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Yes.
Yeah, Puck was a black
man. Shut up! No!
Yeah. No! Somebody needs to go look up Gargoyles on YouTube and just listen to it for a few minutes.
Oh my god, I'm going to after we're done recording.
Yeah, Marina Sirtis did Desdemona. Patrick Stewart actually came on and played one of the guys in Avalon.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah, everybody knew that.
Okay. Yeah. Who am I missing?
Wasn't Talon one of them, too?
Yes.
Liza's brother got turned into a gargoyle, that panther-looking gargoyle, and he had a familiar voice, and I just can't remember who it was.
Yeah, that would be LeVar Burton.
Yeah, him again.
Yeah.
What about the black guy? Was he in it?
Yeah, that was LeVar Burton.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, subsequently, when they were doing Avalon stuff, they also brought in the chick that played Janeway on Voyager.
Who's she?
Tatiana, the Oberon's wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, this is so cool. I didn't know any of this.
You didn't know any of that?
Well, tying into that, okay, also one of the people that did a voice for a character in Gargoyles, you know Goliath?
Yeah.
Okay, Keith David did his voice. Keith David, also on Star Trek The Next Generation as a guest appearance, he does the voice of, what's his name? Captain Anderson. Mass Effect. Dude, I had it like on the tip of my tongue, like, oh, what the
fuck? I was like, that one's just hanging onto the uvula right there.
And if you didn't know him from Gargoyles or from the guest spot that he did on TNG, also was the voice of the Arbiter in Halo 3.
Oh, well, okay. I've never played it, so I would not know, but okay.
Oh, yeah, and Seth Green also does a voice. So, I mean, they went out of their way to get a bomb, really talented group of voice actors to tell the story. So that should tell you right there how deep the story is supposed to go. Here's the overrun of the story of Mass Effect. Depending upon what backstory you pick for your commander, you get assigned to go check out some portal thingy. That's on one of the colonies that we've advanced to in space. Basically, we found some technology that pretty much everybody else in the universe already knew about, but we were kind of last to the party. But we've been using it and kind of basically laying our seed all over the damn universe. Mm-hmm. Some of the other species out in the universe are not liking it. But we're trying to advance some more and get a seat on this Universal Galactic Council thingy.
Are there any sci-fi things at all where humans are liked by alien species?
No, not really. Usually it's pretty much us against them until we win them over with our wit and charm and just...
guns. And then beat them with our sticks of scent.
It's our wit and charm and large guns.
Yes, unless their guns are larger, then we try to be diplomatic.
Yeah, or we find some ingenious way to still blow them up.
That sounds
unless
so
you're talking
familiar.
About contact. Unless you're talking about contact, in which they say
I don't want to talk about contact.
Why?
I don't want to talk about contact. I was disappointed.
I didn't hate it.
Oh my god.
Hi. Wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but I didn't hate it.
Aww. All right. So anyway, we go to Eden Prime to check out our colony, to check out this beacon thing. And we get there, and there are these bunch of alien robot, which are called the Geth. And they are just killing the shit out of people. We have no idea why, but they're just killing the shit out of everybody on the planet. Not only that, but the Geth hadn't been seen in our part of the galaxy for, like, millennia.
Yeah.
So we have no idea why they're coming across the veil. And not only that, they're killing us. So you get down there, and they're, like, these three Geths that have been pinned on a pike. But the pike comes down, and then they get up, and they start coming towards you to blow themselves up near you. So you've got to shoot them. So that's where the action starts, and you're blowing these guys up. You finally kill them. You get your team together, and you find out that this guy named Saren, bad guy, not really so good, kind of, sort of wants to kill all of humanity and life that is not useful to him.
So he's generally a fuzzy, squishy, nice guy.
Yeah. If you're Geth, because they revere him for wanting to end non-biometric life in the universe. So if you're not a robot, you shouldn't exist. And Saren's like, sure, I believe that too. And let's make that happen.
Ugh.
So you, as Shepard, have to convince the council that Saren is a bad guy. And it takes a while for them to believe it. But you finally come out with a tape that has him talking to Marina Sirtis' character, Matriarch Benzia. And they're like, yes, Saren is definitely a bad guy. We're going to revoke his Spectre status. So a Spectre is kind of like a ranger or like a marshal. They're kind of like above the law. They can work outside of the law. And all the other races have at least a member of their species that's a Spectre, except for us.
Oh, no.
Shepard.
us.
Yeah. Shepherd was supposed to, you know, prove to one of the guys that went down with her on her message or his mission that he had what it takes to be a Spectre, but then that person got killed by Saren, so the council really didn't want to make you one until you play them the tape. So then you play them the tape, and they're like, all right, here's the thing, here's your badge, you are now a Spectre. And you're like, yeah, I'm a bum, motherfucker. Okay, so now...
Just like that?
Yeah, pretty much just like that. Especially because on the Xbox 360, you get an achievement when you finally get to the point where they make you a Spectre.
Yeah.
Because depending upon what you do, it can kind of take you a while for them to become convinced to let you be one. I did it pretty damn quick. So I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. All right.
EDQ, motherfucker.
You know it. So then you jump back on the transport, which is one of the lame things I have to say about this game, is because whenever you take a transport to another part of the city, all they do is basically throw up, like, screensaver number 2 from the original track, which just kind of sits there for a moment. And you don't see the transport, you don't get on anything, you don't get out of it. You just kind of, like, have screensaver, and bam, you're there. And you're just like, okay, fine.
Not even a crappy traveling montage?
No, no traveling montage, screensaver. Huh. And then you're there. However, characters look gorgeous. The mouth sync is off, but I really don't care because the story is very propelling. You can choose to investigate things if you want to be a badass or to be a bully to some characters or help people as you like. And so helping additional people basically becomes the side quest to the story. You can, once you're a Spectre, do nothing but side quests for the longest time if you want. As a Spectre, you have the ability to take command of the Normandy, which is your ship, after your captain has to hand it over to you because you're a bomb-ass Spectre. you can go anywhere in the universe that you want to. There are different galaxies. Most of the galaxies have between 5 and 6 planets within the galaxy, so you can explore those galaxies, drop ship, take your crew, explore, blow up sandworm things, whatever you want to. And then when you want to come back to the story, Einlark, you can do that. And that's why I don't like to compare it to Fable, because Fable didn't do as much of that. You could do some side quests, but after about the second one, you had no choice but to go back and now follow the linear path.
So it's much wider than even Fable was.
It's wider than Fable was. Huh. Wider than Fable 1 was. I don't know what Fable 2 is going to be like. I hope that it's big on this scale. Rumor goes around that if you do all the side quests and visit all the different things that you can, there's over 500 hours of gameplay to Mass Effect, especially because there's downloadable content to add additional chapters and different side quests to the game. I have really enjoyed the fact that really it becomes a story of betrayal and adversity. Uh-huh. You know, again, humans are kind of pinned in the background because it is sci-fi, but you have a character that I really feel like I have almost total control over his or her destiny in my hands, and I like that.
Yeah.
I much prefer that to, okay, so here's the level, and here's the goal, and you need to get to point A, then C, then B, then D, and then you can do goal. I like being able to go, but what if I want to go to point A, point 1, point 1, point 7?
Ooh.
I can do that. And then if I want to save that and not go to my goal anytime too soon, I can do that. Like, one of the things, I'm to the point where I've rescued Benazia's daughter, and she's telling me all about the Protheans, which are the people that left behind all this tech. And so I've discovered some of the betrayal stuff that's going on. And I like that I can spend all this time investigating more and having more of this backstory filled in and then go and do whatever it is I need to do to progress to the next level in the game.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that you do gain EXP points and there are health points in the game, but I can actually set it up when I first start the game to have the game manage that for me for all members of my party. So it will automatically fill up based on their abilities what they should max out. So if I have somebody whose thing is their tech, then whenever they gain experience points, it automatically fills in to gain up their tech. Or if I have, you know, a soldier or I have a vanguard, then it will automatically build up their weapon skills before it builds up their healing skills and things like that. So I don't have to spend time managing. I can spend my time exploring the universe and exploring the story that is Mass Effect. The character animations, like I said, are gorgeous. I mean, people look like people. Aliens look like aliens. Lighting effects are phenomenal. But the story is what really keeps me going back to the game and playing it over and over again to try and get as much as I can out of it. BioWare has said that it will be at minimum a trilogy, and it's something that they plan to spread over the supposed quoted 5-year lifespan of the Xbox 360. That's what Microsoft committed as the main lifespan before they released a new system. So you should have Mass Effect going forward. Now, me being, you know, the spoiler queen, I did go to the Wikipedia page, which has a full summary from start to finish of the story, including how it ends and how it sets up the next piece of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give it away, but it's better than where I thought it was going to go.
Well, that's pretty good then.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with it. It is definitely a game. Right now I'm renting it. I'm probably going to end up buying it just because I want to explore all that stuff. I want to see all of the different worlds.
Take time, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I very rarely have fun in a game where I have to build up my weapon or modify my weapons and choose which ones I want to keep and which ones I want to sell. But I actually am enjoying that in this game to see what added features I get and different people and different interactions that I have actually affect what kind of abilities my person can then get. I can get to the point where if I'm enough of a bully, I can actually walk into a room and just from walking up to somebody, intimidate them into telling me what I want to know without having to do the investigative thing. And that to me says they put a lot of thought into that. And I like that. I like knowing that for whatever I'm plunking down for my game, this experience has been thought out from beginning to end to be a good experience for me, the user, and not just a great experience for the developers.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more of that in games. So I'm going to give Mass Effect right now a 3.5 out of 5 just because I haven't finished the game. I sure haven't unlocked everything that's there. When I probably finish the game, I'm probably going to up it to a 4, maybe even a 4.5 out of 5. Just because of what I know, what the ending now is supposed to be, I'm excited for getting to there and finding the most informative way that I can do that. So if you have an Xbox 360 and you don't have some extra cash in your pocket as far as buying a game, definitely rent it. It's totally worth a rental. That's what I got. Mass Effect. I'm very, very happy with it. And I usually don't like RPGs, people, so...
Yeah, Mass Effect is one of those ones that's like, I need a 360, I need a 360, I need a 360.
You do.
They're fun.
You know, Mass Effect and all the Halos and, you know, Bioshock and...
Bioshock is an amazing Fable game. Fable 2's now...
Assassin's Creed. I want to play them all.
Assassin's Creed.
I haven't played it yet. But Sayo-chan was at lunch today and she told me about the ending.
She's the self-proclaimed queen of spoilers, though.
No. Well, I wanted to know because once I've mastered drumming on Medium, I'm going to play Assassin's Creed, but not until then.
So here's the thing. Bioshock, amazing game. Only going to play it on the PC or an Xbox 360. Assassin's Creed, available on PS3, available on Xbox 360. There is a side quest called Altair's Chronicles that's going to be available on the DS. If you're going to play Assassin's Creed, play it on the Xbox 360. Do not spend your time playing it on the PS3. It's because
it's like I had a PlayStation, and then I had a PlayStation 2, and there's no power of hell or earth that's going to make me buy a PlayStation 3. So I need to get some other system instead. And I'm thinking I'm going to get the 360.
It's awesome.
It's a great system to have. I, as Panda will tell you, have not been a huge fan of Microsoft, the Xbox 360, even with the downtime that they were having over holiday.
Yeah, very true.
Still by far one of the most enjoyable gaming experiences that I've had, just with the online play, the additional content to extend now a game. So now I don't feel so bad paying $60 for a game if I get some extra content, especially the stuff that you get for free, that adds a higher replay value to these games. Now, you know, that you can do some of the Xbox classics where they're actually converting a lot of the Platinum Hits Xbox games to downloadable ones that you can play and run on your Xbox 360. I mean, it's just, it's a wonderful little system as far as really playing some next-gen games with yourself or with friends easily. I'm all about ease of use, and the Xbox 360 is easy to use.
Yeah. Yeah, Ninja's easy.
Bite it, bitch. but I would definitely suggest an Xbox 360 to anyone that was going to be moving up from a previous gen of systems. The Wii is great if you're a Nintendo fan and that you plan on doing multiplayer all the time.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do multiplayer all the time, you're not going to use your Wii all the time. Everybody Votes is a cute idea, but I don't do it habitually. I haven't put picture one yet on my Wii.
I'm not a party player. I don't party very often, so.
Xbox 360, definitely going to be up your creek. But yeah. The other thing that's up, well, not up the creek, really, because they're doing really well, is Velocity Micro. Because they were at CES and they had a really nice booth. I'm sorry I didn't get to actually spend any time there, but they were just doing knock-up business out there, and it seemed like they always had a steady stream while I was in the area. So if you're in the market for a custom machine, or you just need a new machine that doesn't have a lot of the bloatware that comes on most of the machines that you buy from other vendors, check out Velocity Micro at velocitymicro.com, or go to your local Circuit City, check out the machines on the floor, and then hit the website up and build your own custom machine. If you want a bigger hard drive, or if you want a better graphics processor, or even just more RAM, or if you want to be able to craft yourself a notebook that has graphic cards running in dual SLI mode, and you know what that means, you need to go to velocitymicro.com. Tell them that the chicks from the Electric Sisterhood sent you. You're not going to save any money, but just let them know where you got the idea from, because we want to get a little bit of credit. Not a lot, just a little bit.
A smidge.
A smidgen. You should also check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the larger one. So if you're a little tipsy or you just can't remember Electric Sisterhood, use a short address, check out our posts, comment, let us know if you agree or disagree, or use the hit us up link to let us know what it is that you want to hear about, tip us to any information that we may not have seen, or to make a request to have us actually talk about something you're interested in. You can do it all by using the Hit Us Up link, and you will be entered to win candy, or from time to time, t-shirt, or even video games. I don't know, I may feel like giving. It happens.
Well, yeah, she gives.
Not all the time. Watch it.
You set yourself up for that one.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to hit it.
But I hit it like I mean it.
Don't.
She always hits it.
Oh my god.
I hit it like you mean it.
So with that said, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it's kind of toasty.
Toasted.
So, Panda, what do you do with your toast?
I'm going to get 5 pieces of toast, and I'm going to color code them, and I'm going to play Seen It, but with toast.
Seen It, the Totally Toast Edition?
Yeah. Exactly. And then when I'm done, I'm going to eat it. Well, all of them.
Okay. Magic?
I think I'm just going to take my toast and watch some Dexter, because I started watching it last night. I saw the first 2 episodes, and I think I like it.
You think
you watch
like
it at all?
I tried to watch the first episode, but I admit I am kind of a pansy, and I couldn't make it through it. As soon as he ripped out the scalpel and the guy was still alive, I was like, oh, no, this is not going
to
be good.
Yeah, isn't he, like, he works, like, to get bad guys, and he's a serial killer who kills bad guys?
Yes. He gets the guys to get away. And I am definitely sick enough that I appreciate his view on the world.
I appreciate the view. I couldn't take the visual.
I appreciate it all.
I'm a pansy. I admit it.
What does that say about me? What does that say I do with my nights?
Put the lotion in the basket. Everybody nice key on.
Put the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again.
See, I don't know how I made it through that movie. It was very difficult.
I don't really remember that movie very well. That's the only part I remember.
No, I do. Like at the part where he. Oh, dude. When he's in the cave.
You can't even remember it. Like, no. Ew.
Yeah, I don't want to. Like, but when he's in the cage and the guard comes up and he, like, bites him and he eats his mouth. And then he gets out and he's just bleeding. And I'm like, ah!
You're such a girl. I am.
When it comes to stuff like that, there are some visuals that I just can't take. Like horror movies where they're like just survival film and it's just gore for gore's sake.
Like The Hills Have Eyes.
Right. Not a problem. I'm like, oh my god, that's so fake. But
I never even bothered watching that because I knew it was going to be a crappy movie.
Right. I know. P-Dog made Eshmom watch it at 1 in the morning and I told her, I'm like, you don't want to watch that. But don't do it. I'm going to play WoW.
Dude, she saw the original. She should have known not to watch it. But anyway...
Like the Saw movies. I loved all the Saw movies. I still haven't seen 4, but I loved the Saw movies.
I haven't seen any of the Saw movies.
The only part of the Saw movies I couldn't take was the pig scene in number 3, because I can take all the blood and gore and violence, like, ever, but I don't like gooey, gross stuff, which is why I complain about Miyazaki all the time.
Wait a minute. What happened with the pigs?
Let's talk about that another time.
Let's not talk about that ever.
But I want to know.
Well...
Go watch
the movie, or we'll have to just get to it on another podcast, because this one is definitely toast.
Oh, fine.
So I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we're out.
Someone can tell me about the pigs later.
Out!
Hit us up. Hit us up. Hit us up.